Hello, hi, welcome to Igbo Queer and Unfiltered. My name is Charles. How are you? Hope you are good. Hope you had a good week. I had a good week, but I don't know how I feel. Or do I even know how I feel? I know how I feel. I feel angry. I feel disgusted. I feel ashamed of my people. I said one of these stories last week, but this week there's been things that has been happening that just really, really makes me angry. And it makes me angry in such a way that I don't have any control or power to do anything other than speak about it. There is something that happens in a lot of our households, our homes, our society, and things like this that is just not acceptable. Why am I saying this? I have been shown two videos. They were sent through WhatsApp to me this past week. In these 2 weeks, recently, all of them. The most recent one is a student in a particular school that was being attacked because they think that this individual is gay. I do not understand what the problem is with our people. This is why homophobia thrives in African homes everywhere, because of they make you to start to feel like you have the power to control people, to fear, to silence. And this is the cost of raising children without freedom. When you are not allowed to live your life and live your life and mind your fucking business. If you are a gay person, a lesbian, you are literally minding your fucking business and living your life. You are not in anybody's space. I do not understand why a lot of our people, some of our people, especially some of these DL homosexual men who literally hate themselves for being attracted to men, they will carry this on their heads. It is the same thing with attacking these young boys that I talked about last week or last 2 weeks. It does not make any sense. Every time what you see is all of these people who say, oh, you are a woman, wear wig, do this, do this. I get this all the time. Buy diapers, wear pampers, your backside is leaking. All of these things does not make any sense. This is the same country like Nigeria, for instance, where a pastor will be telling you that they prayed and inanimate objects started to work. That is the people you are listening to. Like, you are praying for a phone. They were showing some of these things in some of this nonsense that they do. A lot of our people are brainwashed. A lot of our people are suffering from religious psychosis. You are suffering from religious psychosis. And this is not our culture. It does not sit right with me that you are going to see somebody that is trying to live their life that did not do anything to you. You feel the need to attack them. I saw a particular video that came on my timeline on Twitter. And my friend was telling me about this late last night because I haven't spoken to one of my friends for a long time, and we had the opportunity to speak. And I was on the phone till like 12:30 last night. We were talking about this. This particular man, I saw it on Twitter, and I was like, I thought maybe it was a joke. He was standing behind a young boy and kissed him on the side of his ear. That is what I saw. And to me, I did not see anything. I thought they were just playing because it was in the public. I don't know. It sounds weird to me, but a lot of our people carry this on top of their heads. It looks like they were trying to attack the man and something, things like this. I do not understand why, for instance, a country like Nigeria, why a lot of you are angry about things that you're not supposed to be angry about. You should be angry towards your government. You should be angry towards the billionaires in Nigeria who are taking advantage of you. You should be angry towards your leaders in Africa who are not doing right by you. You should never be angry with queer people, with LGBTQIA plus individuals. We are not the reason why there is inequitable distribution of resources. We are not the reason why you had bad government. We are not the reason why there is corruption. I do not understand this. Your priorities are misplaced. Take it to your governments. Protest. Request and ask for good life, for good amenities. That is simple. You are looking for us because you know that it is easiest target for you. It is easy for you to attack us. Let's be fucking for real. Let's be fucking honest. Homophobia in African homes doesn't start on the streets. It starts at home. It is not random. I have said this time and time again. I have seen this. I have received voice notes from people telling me the things that happened to them. And they shared some of these voice messages to me. They shared them with me. All of this nonsense starts at our home. It is taught. It is enforced. It is rewarded. That is why a lot of these people think that it is okay for them to attack young children when they think that they are gay or lesbians, because they are rewarded for this. I have experienced this firsthand. You will see people come on my TikTok live streams, insult me, and say a lot of vile nonsense. You will see other people saying to them, yes, you're doing a good job. I am happy that you're doing this. Tell him he's useless. He's a shame to his family. He is shameful. They pat them on the back. They support them. They reward them for this nonsense. And they think it is okay. And the thing is, long before society rejects queer Africans, many of us were already rejected at our homes, at our dinner tables, at our bedrooms, in our houses, in our society, in our communities, everywhere, every fucking place, you are rejected. The thing is that someone like me challenges everything that they believe in. They believe that if you are queer, if you are gay, you should be sad. You should be hiding. You should not be living your life. You should not be proud of yourself. You should not be okay with it. But I am the total opposite of this. I have developed a mechanism to shield myself from a lot of this nonsense. I do not fucking care. Because if I say that I suck on penis proudly, I eat a man's backside proudly, because that does not make me a bad person. That does not make me a sinner. It is who I am, because I am acknowledging and accepting who I am with my full chest. It makes them fucking angry. And I do not know why. Of course, I know why. But my dear, I am not your so-called fake pastor. Some of them who give you all of this nonsense informations, who tell you that it is evil. Because some of your pastors and some of your religious leaders are leading you astray. Because if some of these leaders are actually good Christians and good religious leaders, they will tell you that it is about humanity. It is come as you are. Love thy neighbor as thyself and love everybody. But no, you are never going to make me not be who I am. You can insult me from today till thy king don't come. I will still be a homosexual. I will still be gay. You cannot pray the gay away. You cannot beat it away. There is nothing you can do to stop somebody from being a homosexual. And the truth of the matter is, some of you who tend to believe in God, if you actually believe in God and believe in heaven and hell, which means you are committing a sin by attacking someone that is gay, someone that is queer, which means you are going to go to that so-called hell that you are always telling us about. Got to a point this week where I said to myself, what am I even doing? What is all this? Does it even make sense? I was looking at some of the things people are doing, and I said to myself, I know what the problem is. A lot of you lack morals. You lack morality. This is why a lot of people will sit down and justify someone being unalived. This is not even about you being gay, being straight. It is about humanity. A lot of you don't have morals. That is why some of you who claim that homosexuality is evil does not understand what it is to be a good person and a bad person. You are just a bad person using religion as a blanket to commit your atrocities. Because if you understand the golden rule of humanity, if you believe that morality is something that exists, a lot of you will not be mean to LGBTQIA+ individuals. I just want to say something about the African home, as I was saying before I started saying about morality. The African home is built on control. There is no curiosity. They don't care. They are not curious about anything. They just want to control. In many African households, children are not allowed to question. I have seen this firsthand. For instance, this morning I was having conversations with some of my relatives and they were really, really young. And we were talking and I was like, you can question me. You can say anything. You can ask me questions. You can say whatever you want to say. You are not disrespecting me. Children are not allowed to question. Obedience is mistaken for love. Fear is mistaken for respect. Silence is mistaken for discipline. Queerness threatens control. It introduces individuality, choice, softness, and self-definition. That is what queerness does. And because of this, it is a problem. Because African households and homes are built on control. The thing is that control cannot survive freedom. I am going to repeat this again. Queerness threatens control. It introduces individuality, choice, softness, and self-definition. And African households built on control cannot survive freedom. I do not know. It took me for the longest of time to get to where I am today. It involved a lot of work on myself to get to where I am today, to know that I am not less than, that I do not need permission from anybody to live my life. I do not need approval from anybody. And that is something that I continue to work on a daily basis. In this, my big, big age, I am still working on a lot of things. I am still doing a lot of unlearning, because you are never able to tell me that nobody on the face of the earth knows it all. Life is a learning curve. We learn every day. And some of the bullshit that I grew up on, I continue to unlearn all of it. Homophobia thrives where control is more important than understanding. And this is the problem we have as a people. Because what is more important to them is controlling your life, telling you what to do, telling you how you should live your life. You should not be an individual. You should never express yourself. This is not even only when you are queer. As a society, my country, Nigeria, does not want you to be an individual that expresses yourself in your own kind of way. It threatens everything, every fucking thing they believe in. And that is a massive problem. Because one thing I do every time, if you are around me as a person, especially if you are a lot younger, I always say, try as much as possible to express yourself. Be an individual. Define who you are. Express yourself in your own best kind of way. It is okay to be an individual, to be different from everybody, to show yourself in your own best way. Because if our faces are the same, life will be boring. If we are all the same shade of color and skin type, life will be fucking miserable. I don't understand why these people want to control everybody, wants everyone to be in a box. No, we are not going to be in a box. We are all individuals. We express ourselves through fashion, through style, through so many things, through writing, through creating content, through speaking. There's so many ways you can express yourself. What the hell do you mean that you want to control people all the fucking time? It does not sit well with me. Religion is used as a weapon and not a guide. I have said this in so many versions. Religion is used as a blanket to be evil, especially amongst our people. Oh, God said it's bad. The Bible said you should not do that. It is not our culture. It is demonic. It is condemned. Sodom and Gomorrah. That is why God destroyed it. Who told you that? Who told you so? Many African parents outsource parenting to religion. Look around you. If you are an African person, look around you. They start taking you to church, to all the Bible studies, to everything that has to do with the church. That is why some of our daughters and our children go there and they are sexually abused by some of these so-called men of God, religiously abused. That is where they start to suffer from religious psychosis, because many of our parents just literally take you to a church and leave you there. Go there every Sunday, pray, do this. The Bible is literally the parents. The church is the parents. They just outsource their parenting to religion. And that is horrible. The Bible, the Quran, said God will punish you. You will bring a curse on this family. That is what you hear every freaking time as a queer person, as an LGBTQIA plus, as an LGBT plus individual. This is what you hear. Instead of them showing you love, instead of them loving you, instead of love, they offer you the scripture. Instead of listening to you, they offer you fear. Instead of protection, they offer threats. Religion becomes a truth to silence discomfort, not to teach compassion. This is why I say that a lot of you need to start learning how to be uncomfortable being comfortable. Because the thing is, the religion is brought up anytime you speak about something that they don't want to listen to, that they don't want to unlearn. They'll be like, no, 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 no. The Bible said it's bad. The Bible said it's bad. It's not good. It's evil. But you refuse to teach compassion. You refuse to teach kindness. You refuse to teach love. You refuse to teach being nice. You refuse to teach the golden rule of humanity. You refuse to teach empathy. Some of you need to learn how to unlearn some of the bullshits you've been taught. Start doing the unlearning today. There's something I realized, and I did not know how to explain this. I was a lot younger, but I didn't have a word for this. I was in secondary school in Enugu when this happened, but my little brain did not have a word to this. I did not have anything to explain the harm that parents do to their children. I saw this firsthand with some of my friends that it happened to. And it is fate. It is fate when fate is used to justify harm. When parents are afraid of their own children's truth. I will never forget a particular thing that happened to someone I knew when I was in secondary school because they were extremely flamboyant. And the Bible was what was used. Bible was used to harm this individual. And that harmed me as well because I knew them. It did not happen to me at my home, but it happened to them and I knew them. And this conversation was hard. And that never left me up until today. I said to myself in that moment, if I happen to get to a point in my life where I have a voice, I will continue to speak. I never knew that I would get to a point where I would be able to have a voice because that little Charles, okay, that was young, with no power, with no financial independence, with no power, cried in my double bunk bed at my boarding school. Thinking of that, I played in my school's basketball team and there was a particular boy. This was in Enugu and I will never forget this. We played against them. His name starts with A. I don't want to mention the name before people can put one and two together and know who this person is. And he was really, really good. But the way he was being taunted because he was effeminate, there was nothing wrong with him. I said to myself, I will try as much as possible to cover anything that will make anybody know that I'm gay. But the way I spoke, the way I acted, the way I dressed, that stayed with me up until today. I thought of it and I continue to think of it. This is why whenever I see someone that is young and that person is effeminate, I try as much as possible to tell them, never change yourself. Because this guy never changed himself. He was fighting them. He was cussing them out. He was speaking and fighting for himself. He was tough, extremely tough. But seeing that, I took that from my secondary school and all my adult life. All I did was went back into my shell, trying for my family not to know who I am until I got to university. Though I never told anyone that I was gay when I was at University of Maiduguri, but I never hid myself either. But it was nothing I spoke about. But I just tried as much as possible to live my life in such a way that nobody ever suspected that I was a homosexual. But what I do today, as an adult that I am, I will never, ever, ever fucking make myself small. That will never happen. One thing I urge anyone that is listening to this podcast that is a queer person, you do not need to come out. I am consistent with this. But what you need to do for yourself is make peace with who you are. Be at peace with yourself. Because one thing I realized in that moment when this was happening, when I was in high school, was I was at peace with myself. I never knew the words, the name, why I felt so okay with who I am, despite the fact that I cried so many times saying to God, in my head at the time, how I see life. Why am I like this? Why do I find men attractive? Why don't I behave like the other boys? I did have a moment in my life like that. Do you know why that happened? It happened because I was told by society, by the homes I went into, by the people in my house, that queerness is evil. Queerness is wrong. Queerness is not something you are supposed to be. And I was trying so much not to be a queer person. But I got to 21, everything was extremely clear to me. At the time, I already knew what the name was. I knew what I am, what I was. At the age of 13, I knew the name. Prior to 13, I knew I was homosexual, but I didn't have a name for it. But I now know the name. They used to say in my school, you are homo. They say it if they suspect. But I knew what that was. So I'm saying all this to say that be at peace with yourself. You do not need to come out to anybody, but just live in your truth. And that student, that boy at the time was a hero to me because he was strong. He was dedicated. He did not need any permission from anybody. He was ready to fight for himself. He was powerful. And that is what I am today. I am powerful. You are powerful. We are powerful. We do not need permission from anybody. We are strong. We are unique. We are wonderful. Nobody is going to break your soul because you are divinely protected. Lineage, legacy, and the fear of ending the bloodline. Yeah, African homes are obsessed with family name, children, marriage, inheritance. What will people say? Where children are often seen as disruption to lineage. We are not seen as human beings because they see it that if you are gay, if you are queer, you are not going to be able to reproduce. That is why the most common question I get is, why are you not married? Do you not want kids? Go and have children. Your mates are married. No, I'm not attracted to women. And who said to you that being gay, that you cannot have a child? You can. So because of all of these things, parents panic immensely. I had a conversation with a friend of mine years ago. And what he was saying to me is that I will try as much as possible to give my parents grandchildren. I never forget this. And I know a few older Nigerian gay men who are married, who are a lot older than me. They are old enough to be my father, who have said to me that I should get married to a woman and give them grandchildren because we are that close. And I said to them that that's not going to happen, because they are a parental figure to me. And this is the thing, our parents panic. As soon as they panic, they don't ask anything. They don't ask if the child is safe. So, is my child safe? Are you safe? They don't ask that. What they ask is, will my child embarrass us? Children, will our children embarrass us? What they think is about the embarrassment. But the truth is, that homophobia grows when reputation matters more than your child's life. I want to make this abundantly clear to a lot of our people. Fuck your reputation. Fuck your respect. Because you are wallowing in homophobia. What reputation are you thinking about? The number of my cousins who said to me when I came out to them, who knew that I was gay, said to me, oh, you are disrupting the family. You are bringing shame to our family. What about the reputation of this family? Do you not think of that? None of them actually thought of my well-being, my mental well-being, my safety, my happiness, my peace of mind. They were being extremely homophobic to me at this point in time, and they were just okay with it. My brothers did as well. So if you look at this, as I said, homophobia grows when reputation matters more than a child's life. And this is something our people need to start to unpack. A child's life should matter. Your children's life should matter. One of the reasons why I look at some of our people, I say to them that you are not supposed to be a parent, is that they don't understand what it is to be a parent. I always have this in my head, that if I happen to have a child, I will sacrifice everything. I will not be selfish. And there's a reason why I don't have children, because I don't want to have children where I don't put my child first. As they say, you are as happy as your most happiest child if you are a good parent. If you are a good parent, if your child is sad, you should be sad. Your child should be your priority. Their safety should be your priority. But most of our people fucking don't care. All they care about is you're making them shameful. You are bringing shame. That is why I always get asked, are your families proud of you? The other day on TikTok Live, somebody wrote on the comments, you are making your parents' enemy happy. And I'm like, what a stupid thing to say. It's crazy. Emotional illiteracy is passed down generationally. It is passed down generationally. Many African parents were never taught how to talk about feelings, how to apologize, how to listen, how to love without control. So when a queer child appears, they respond with anger, violence, or silence, because those are the only fucking tools they were giving. It's evidence to see. This is why sometimes when I actually look at some of our parents, I really, really feel sorry for some of them. The ones that are trying, I feel sorry for some of them. But some of them that are not even trying, I would be like, you are fucked up. You are extremely messed up. And I don't think you know it. You are using all your madness and all your frustration. You are frustrated and you are using your child as a punch bag. Most of our African parents repeat the harm they were never, ever allowed to heal from. And it is there for you to see. It is transparent. You can see it happen on a daily basis. The number of times I have seen most of our parents scream and lose control about things that they are not supposed to overreact on. Or sometimes they will treat you with silence treatment. I have seen people who are so mean to their children and they still take them to church every day and tell them that God loves them, that if they do anything bad, that God will punish them. They make them to be fearful of God, to fear the wrath of God, and they will be the most bizarre, horrible, wicked father you can come across and mother. And they will still be there telling you that they are the best parents. And you can tell that they are not. It is extremely disappointing and horrible. It is absolutely disgusting the way some of us were raised by our parents. And I don't know what to do about it, but we can just start to unlearn from here. Friend, learn shame before they learn language. In many of our homes, boys are punished for being soft. Why are you acting like women? Why are you acting like a woman? I remember in Kalu, they used to say, why do they behave like a girl? Men are not supposed to be like this. Why are you soft? Boys are supposed to be hard. Girls are punished for autonomy. Difference is corrected early. It is crazy. Actually, coming to think about this as an adult, it is absolutely crazy. The things that I know now, looking back, my God, some of our parents messed us up. The thing they used to do in Kano when I was growing up, if you're a boy and you act like a woman, they will call you woman rapper. In Igbo, they will say omekanwanya, which means you behave like a girl. There were so many ways to put you down before you even know who you were and who you are. So by the time a child realizes they are queer, shame already lives inside them. This happens. There are so many versions of this still happening in 2026. You see it on social media everywhere, where some of these pastors will be like, why is he behaving like a girl? The child is even like 6 years old or 5 years old, 3 years old, and doesn't understand what and who they are. This is why most of us don't come out. This is why we disappear. Because homophobia is planted early and watered and grown and nurtured daily in African homes. And we carry that everywhere we go. That is why I urge a lot of us queer people to continue to do the work on ourselves. A lot of us LGBTQIA+ individuals from Africa, people of African descent across the diaspora, in the diaspora everywhere, to start to deal and do something about the nonsense that we've been taught. Because homophobia was planted earlier and they've grown it in us and it has manifested and you need to do something about it to help yourself feel good. Because there is nothing wrong with being LGBTQIA+. There is nothing wrong with being gay. Silence keeps the system alive. African families rarely talk about abuse, trauma, sexuality and sexual orientation, mental health, emotional harm. Silence protects our parents. Silence protects our tradition. Silence protects harm, but silence never protects any child. Because if you don't do anything that is good by a child, by being quiet, you are harming that child. By not supporting a child, you are complicit. You are saying that your life, the way it is useless, that you do not matter. Do you understand what that does to a child? Homophobia survives in majority of cases because silence is treated virtue. Because when you treat silence as a behavior that is showing of more high moral standards, what do you expect? What do you expect? Because what you're saying is that by being silenced, that it is a good thing. No, it is not morally better to be silent. Actually, it is evil. It is evil. Because by being silenced towards homophobia, when you see homophobia happen, you allow it to thrive, to grow, survive. You internalize it. You hate yourself. And you, as a parent, begin to think that homophobia, of course, you've learned this already, but you are quiet about it. It shall never be spoken. Do not ask. Do not speak. Don't tell. There is a lot of major cost. We are the collateral damage where people, gay people, LGBTQIA+ individuals, as queer Africans, as queer people from Africa, when you have homophobic behaviors in homes, the cost of all of these things is that you grow up being anxious. That's just a simple way to say it. You grow up being anxious. Depression comes in, hyper-independence comes in, people-pleasing, fear of intimacy, overachievement to prove your worth, deep loneliness. As queer Africans and LGBTQIA+ of African descent, we don't become strong because of this. We just survive in spite of all the higgy and haga, in spite of all the waywardness. We still survive. We still thrive. That is why what will never unalive you will make you stronger. We are here. We are all survivors. I have done so much work on myself that when I speak about some of these things, I don't cry anymore. I used to be really, really emotional about some of these things because I look at the way we've been deprived of our humanity in so many ways. And you begin to wonder, what have we done wrong? We haven't done anything wrong aside from being born gay, being born LGBTQIA+ individuals. Something has to change. There has to be change because change is one of the most constant things in nature. What needs to change here? African homes need to learn this. Children are not your property. Culture is not above humanity. Love without control is possible. Queerness is not rebellion. It is not us being rebellious. It is our truth. Parenting requires emotional growth, not just authority. And for queer Africans, distance is sometimes a way for you to survive. Chosen family is valid. Your family doesn't always have to be biological. You don't owe abusive parents access to you. Healing can happen without permission. Healing can happen without approval, without anybody's validation. You should not allow people who are horrible to you to have any access to you. Love them from afar. Create boundaries. And my message to us queer people, if you grew up in a home that made you feel too much, wrong, broken, unwanted, I want you to understand, to listen to this clearly. You were never ever the problem. You were never ever the problem. You were and you are still the truth in a home that feared honesty. Because we as queer people are honest with who we are. We know who we are. We are truthful. We live in our truth unapologetically. You were the truth in a home that feared honesty. And you should know that you are always the truth. You are the light. You are powerful. You are wonderful. You are amazing. And nobody, absolutely nobody, is going to be able to break your soul. Nobody is going to break you because you were never broken. Homophobia thrives in African households because of fear is easier than growth. Control is easier than listening. And silence is easier than accountability. But you know what? The cycle can and will end with us. We are never going to allow for all of this nonsense to continue. We are raising ourselves today, now, in this moment. We are choosing to be soft, juicy, hydrated, moisturized, and unbothered. We are choosing truth. We are choosing and have chosen freedom above all nonsense. Nobody is ever going to fucking silence us. That is never going to happen. I want you to take that with you because you are amazing. You have chosen yourself in the best way possible when it is needed. Choose yourself when it is needed. Choosing yourself doesn't mean you are selfish. It means you want to take care of yourself before you think about other people. Thank you so, so much for being here. Thank you for joining the Movement for Visibility, Freedom and Representation and Truth. I have been Charles. This has been Igbokwe and Unfiltered Podcast. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We see you. We see us. We love us. I shall see you in the next episode. Have a wonderful time.